Good morning and welcome to Wisconsin Weekend. It's part of our Friday lineup on the morning show. And today we're talking about volunteering in Wisconsin's great outdoors. Do you love the majesty of state parks and want to help keep them in tip-top shape? Maybe you can dedicate some time to monitoring a handful of our hundreds of species and habitats. We're here to figure out how to put your time and talents to good use. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer Kent, and we want to hear from you. The number to call is 800-642-1234. Do you volunteer outdoors? What have you done? Maybe you're interested, but you don't know where to start to find the information or figure out where you can best help. Now is the time to call at 800-642-1234. We'll work to get those answers for you with Jared Urban. Jared's the State Department of Natural Resources Natural Area Volunteer Coordinator. Jared, thanks for joining us on the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me.
You manage the DNR State Natural Areas Volunteer Program. How do we define state natural areas? How are they different from other pieces of our DNR areas?
So state natural areas are part of a state nature preserve system. It's actually the oldest and largest state nature preserve system in the country. They started in 1951 with the first one being Parfrees Glen. And there's almost 700 in the state right now. And they're in every county except for two. They are owned by DNR and by partner organizations as well. They have to be special in one of three ways. So they have to have rare plants and animals present, rare geological features, and or rare archaeological features. And one of the ways that I like to think of how they're different than maybe a typical Wisconsin woodland is that when European settlers came into the state, they logged the forests and plowed the prairies, and as a result, a lot of the land has changed significantly, and these are the spots where there's the least amount of evidence of that disturbance. And program is a little bit different than state parks in that the resources that state parks have will be used towards recreation. And the resources that our program has is used towards keeping these sites healthy, as healthy as we can. And so if we also like to keep the sites as wild as we can, so if there are no trails on the property when we get them, we will leave them without trails.
I'm really struck by your parameters because you gave us three kinds of rarity that needs to happen in these, and yet there are more than 700 in our state. That feels incredible.
Yeah. Wisconsin is blessed with really rich native plant communities, and these are just really good representations of those spots, and we try to represent a little bit of what the state has all over the state.
What kind of work needs to happen in these natural areas? Because you just talked about the fact that the reason we respect them is that they are less invaded by human beings.
Yeah, so just because they are in good quality doesn't mean they're pristine. And there's a lot of threats that exist right now to these spots, one of which is invasive plants. That's really the main one. And so the work that volunteers do, one of the main things is removing invasives. And so they do that by doing a variety of different things, pulling out plants, cutting with chainsaws, spraying herbicides, burning brush piles. In addition to dealing with invasives, they also do other things. Like in the fall right now, we're gearing up to do a lot of seed collecting. So if we remove a large chunk of invasive plants, we'll throw in native seeds to replace them. And we also do volunteers help with prescribed fire, which is one of the most important things we can do for these sites. And then they also do some surveys of rare plants and animals.
We're talking with Jared Urban, who's the state DNR Natural Area Volunteer Coordinator, and we're talking about getting outside and how you can help contribute to conservation in Wisconsin. The lines are open now at 800-642-1234, and we want to hear your story. Do you want to help other people enjoy the outdoors, but you're not quite sure how? Maybe you're part of a group that has adopted a wildlife area, or you do work to help clear out invasive species of plants to help regrow natural habitats. What's your experience been like? Share it with us at 800-642-1234. Jared, part of the structure you have is that people sign up for email lists that tell them when you need volunteers for what you call work days. What's a work day look like?
A work day is a gathering of volunteers to get something done. And so, usually there'll be a meeting spot where everybody gets together and has some informal conversation. And then we'll have an intro circle is what we like to call it, where people will gather around and the leader will talk about the task that will occur for the day, why it's being done, how to do it. They'll also talk about the site and what makes the site special and important. And then everybody will head out with the tools that they have and do the work. And if you don't know what you're doing, we'll partner you with somebody who does know what they're doing. And so it's a way for people who maybe haven't experienced the work before to experience it and get taught as they do the work. And people are encouraged to work at their own pace. Sometimes we'll have a break in the middle. And usually at the end, there's some kind of snack and hangout time. Sometimes we'll even have potlucks at the end of the event. But it's a good way for people to meet other people and to get something accomplished.
I think that helps immensely, because I do think that sometimes, at least in my life, I think, okay, I'm not sure how to do this, or I'm not very good at this. And what you're saying is you don't have to be an expert. You just have to be willing to learn. Is that fair?
That's right. Yeah. We have people that know what they're doing to help people that aren't experts.
Excellent. We're talking with Jared Urban, who's the State Department of Natural Resources Natural Area Volunteer Coordinator. He stays with us here on Wisconsin Weekend, and he is ready for your question. Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Tell us what you love about being outside. Maybe you have some free time now when you've run out of yard work, as if that might be possible in your area. Maybe you want to contribute to the greater state that you love. What question do you have about volunteering in this great outdoors here in Wisconsin? We're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. I'm Keely Boltina. Join in this Wisconsin Weekend. It's the morning show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. Maybe you've got an hour or two to spare. Perhaps your weekends are suddenly open now that you're not traveling as much. Or maybe you've got an entire season of the year when you'd like to get outdoors and help preserve our state's natural resources. We're talking about volunteering in nature this hour of the morning show. I'm Keely Boltina, and the phone lines are open on this Wisconsin weekend at 800-642-1234. We've got Jared Urban, who's the state's DNR Natural Area Volunteer Coordinator, and Joan from Marshall is ready to join the conversation. Good morning, Joan.
Good morning.
What are you thinking about?
I have a question. My dad is 83 years old. He lives in Grant County. He's lived there his whole life, and he's looking for something to do. And I think that volunteering for the DNR would be a good match for him, but he's not internet savvy, so he would need to, like, work with you with phone calls. I wanted to know if that was possible.
Joan, thanks so much for the question. And Jared, the internet has a lot of things, but what about somebody who's not comfortable with that? Where does Joan's dad start?
Yeah, he could definitely still get involved. We do have a couple of volunteers in Grant County, and probably the best way is to give me a call, and we could talk more about where exactly he is and what would be a good fit for him. We also have some partner groups like the Prairie Enthusiasts, who are very active in Grant County. And so a combination of either one of our sites or their sites could be a good fit.
Joan, I hope that helps so that you can figure out if that is a good fit for your dad, especially if he's interested in volunteering. We've also got Dan from Racine, who is ready to talk with us. Hi, Dan.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Jared Urban, interesting name for a natural areas person for the DNR, so I thought that was one thing. But we're near a lake county, or probably we're in Racine County, but near a lake community and also near the Bong Recreation Area. And my comment was, I think that people can do things in addition to volunteering, and I'm wondering if you had any thoughts on Healthier Lakes, which is the group we're part of, and also how people can act in their own behalf to maybe put some of the natural content back into the.
And Dan, you're breaking up, so I'm going to go ahead and jump in here and let Jared respond to help us understand maybe more if people can't formally volunteer, other things that we can do to help preserve nature in Wisconsin.
Yeah, DNR is a large organization, so there's lots of different ways to get involved. So you could get involved with your local lake association. There's different ways that you could look for invasive plants in lakes. I think if you search for different volunteering opportunities on the DNR website, you would probably be able to come up with ways that you could be involved in your lakes as well. We also have citizen-based monitoring programs that look at things from bats up to rare plants and mussels. And so there's a lot of different ways that you can get involved and help out the natural world.
Dan, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We've actually posted links to the DNR website resources on ours. So you can go to wpr.org/mornings, and that'll take you to some of those resources that Jared is talking about. So thanks again for that question. Jared, we're hearing health officials encourage us to keep our distance from other people. Has that affected volunteering with your part of the DNR?
Yes, so we are following the state and local COVID guidance to keep safe. And so that means that, yeah, things have really changed a lot. And so right now, the best way that people can get involved is to get in contact with me directly. And then we do have some small groups of volunteers that are still doing some work. We also have some individuals still doing some work. Obviously, they're working in areas that are close to them. But we aren't able to do as many work days as we were in the past. And so if people get in touch with me, with their experience level, where they live, and maybe a specific job that they're interested in, or maybe a specific state natural area that they're interested in, we can either partner them with a volunteer that's already doing work, or one of our partner organizations that help us.
And it seems that it would help that this is outside, that people could spread out. And so some of these activities that you do to help preserve the natural areas, they would still be pretty safe for people. Is that an appropriate thing to say?
All of the work that we do is outside. And so social distancing is usually possible. Yes.
Sure. Easier than when you're all stuck close together. We're talking with Jared Urban, who's the state's DNR Natural Area Volunteer Coordinator, and we are talking about using our time now to help preserve the state's natural resources. Still time for your call at 800-642-1234. Jared, when you talk to volunteers, what are the reasons they decide to participate in one of these programs?
That's a great question. I think one of the main things that volunteers enjoy is getting the chance to be active participants in healing the land, watching native plants and animals thrive. It's very visual work. And so people that maybe they're doing things in their head all day, it's a good change of pace to that. You know, a lot of the things that we do in today's modern world is in our heads. Well, this is using our hands, seeing the work that we're doing. And people enjoy meeting other people that have an enjoyment for the natural world, sharing food. We actually also get a lot of landowners who are doing restoration on their property, and they want to learn more about how to do it and how we are doing things. And then we get a lot of people that just want to find new spots to explore.
We are seeing the beginning of this seasonal change here. What are the things we'll see volunteers doing in the fall?
So the biggest thing that we do in the fall, and it's ramping up right now, is seed collecting season. We actually have a couple of projects where we're collecting seeds for planting some agricultural fields adjacent to some remnant prairies and wetlands. And so we'll collect seeds from remnant plant communities, native seeds, and then we'll throw those seeds down into onto bare ground and start new prairies and wetlands. And we also take the seed that we collect, as I said before, and scatter it in areas where we've cleared invasive plants to start essentially healing that that piece of property. And so this is one of the things it's pretty accessible for people to do, and people enjoy doing it. It doesn't require too much physical work, just getting out there and being off trail. And it's really rewarding to see the bag of seeds you collect at the end of the day.
Could you maintain these state natural areas without volunteers?
Our volunteers add a lot to our program. And so the answer is probably we could do our best to maintain them, but we can do more with volunteers. And volunteers have added a lot to our program. And so they've also brought in additional funding to do more work on our properties. They teach us about our properties. They find new rare plants and rare animals and new populations of unusual, uncommon plants. And if they have the time and the knowledge, they become the local expert of that site. And so I think they add a lot to our program.
Jared, thank you for talking with us today.
You bet.
Jared Urban is the State Department of Natural Resources Natural Area Volunteer Coordinator. It's Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show. Coming up, we're continuing this conversation about where and how you can volunteer outdoors on state and public lands. You're part of this discussion. Join in now at 800-642-1234. What question do you have about getting started volunteering? Maybe you already do volunteer. Let's talk about the work that you do here in Wisconsin. 800-642-1234. I'm Keely Boltina, and this is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Next week, after the morning show, you'll get to hear 1A Live. Starting Monday, Jen White and the 1A team will be on your radio starting at 9 o'clock in the morning. On Point is moving to 1 in the afternoon, and we're also welcoming a new show to the schedule. It's called The Takeaway, and it airs at 2. Take a listen, join in the national conversation, let us know what you think. You can see complete details on our website. Just visit WPR.org/fall2020. Volunteering in Wisconsin could take you to the forest, through grasslands, to wetlands and lakes and rivers and streams all across our state. That's our focus on the morning show this hour. Welcome to Wisconsin Weekend as we learn how we can contribute to conserving the state's prized natural resources. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. You're part of this conversation. Pick up the phone now at 800-642-1234. Have you volunteered with the DNR before? Maybe you want to figure out how you can use your talents to contribute. Maybe you don't have that much time. That's okay. Let's talk with our guest about the options that are available to you. 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Our guest now is Kent Van Horn. He's the chief of the State Department of Natural Resources Bird and Habitat Section. Kent, thanks for talking with us today.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
We may have seen the signs out on state lands or by a stream with public access, but tell us, what are these DNR programs that are like adopt a wildlife area or adopt a fish?
Well, it's a adopt a fish or wildlife area. So we have about 300 areas, around the state, 300 fish or wildlife areas around the state that serve to provide habitat and outdoor recreation for our citizens. And currently we have 36 adopt a wildlife area groups that are volunteering and working at 32 sites. So obviously we have a lot of capacity for additional help. These are situations mostly where we have groups of people that share a common theme, a common passion, whether it's a Boy Scout group or Wisconsin Waterfowl Association. They're a group of people that already have a passion and an interest in the outdoors and use these lands. And so they see them as their lands and they want to give something back and contribute. And so they can contact our assistant public land specialist. We'll set up an agreement. And under these adopt a wildlife area agreements, it's a 3-year agreement so that both parties kind of know what our commitment level is. And then the group can donate up to $3,000 or 100 hours of work over that 3-year period. And then they work on a variety of projects.
How do these groups or other volunteers specifically help fish populations in Wisconsin?
Well, the fisheries areas that we own in the department are primarily related to trout. And so natural resources, they're all interconnected. So the health of a waterway is dependent upon the health of the land adjacent to it. And trout have certain habitat requirements within a stream. And sometimes the stream banks get eroded and the habitat that they occupy underneath stream banks falls apart. And so crews will come in and they'll remove brush, they'll restore structure to the stream, and they improve the habitat along the stream edge, which improves the water clarity, the water temperature, and helps the habitat for trout.
We are taking calls this hour at 800-642-1234 with your questions about volunteering. And we've got Albert from Milwaukee on the line. Hi, Albert.
Yes, good morning. A good program. I always wondered, maybe it's already in, they do, I don't know, but why every high school has a biology department and a chemistry lab. Why couldn't DNR use these local people to go out and take samples and study things and then report back to DNR, and then you have a statewide program, you know, a statewide resource of what's going on, where it needs help. The more expensive DNR people can focus on the more delicate or more complex issues, and the high school kids would get involved in doing this little bit initial research. This would save money, and then if you give the high school some money for their lab cost, that would save the DNR a heck of a lot of money.
Yeah, Albert, thanks for that idea. And can you speak to the idea of people of different ages, sure, specifically high school students, participating here?
Great idea. And, in fact, that does occur in places around the state. I don't know that we have any high school science clubs or anything that are doing an adopt a wildlife area, but I am familiar with various projects that have been set up between our local wildlife biologists and local science teachers where, for example, so students have a project monitoring rough grouse drumming, you know, in the north, or engage in other projects with us. So that is certainly something that we have considered and engaged. And again, those develop mostly in the local communities where there's a relationship between, you know, the high school science teacher and the local wildlife biologist. And you can look up our local wildlife biologists through the staff directory on the DNR website. You can go just type in staff directory, type in your county, and type in wildlife biologist, and it'll tell you who it is. And so if there's a science teacher out there that's interested in doing some things, you can contact your local wildlife biologist and find out how to get engaged.
And we've got an initial link to that at WPR.org/mornings. Kent, we're talking about high school students here, but volunteers of all ages participate in part because they learn things. I mean, education is a crucial part of volunteering for DNR.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting to see. You know, people will come and they'll benefit from habitat, or they'll use trails, and then they develop a passion for these properties, and then they want to get engaged. And then when they do get engaged, they actually see how those things get developed, right? So, you know, for example, we have a Pheasants Forever chapter that went out with, you know, donated funds that helped buy prairie and pollinator seed. And then they went out and helped do the seeding. So then the volunteers are learning about how a prairie and a pollinator grassland habitat gets established, and they actually engage in the work. And then they can come back later and, you know, and see the results. And it's just a very satisfying experience.
We're talking with Kent Van Horn, who's the chief of the State Department of Natural Resources Bird and Habitat Section. Here on the Ideas Network, we are talking about adopt a fish or adopt a wildlife area programs, and also how you can volunteer. And we're taking your questions at 800-642-1234. Have you been trying to find an outdoor activity that you and your friends can do together but stay socially distant? Maybe you've got some extra time on your hands as you stay closer to home. Let's talk about how you can use your talents to benefit our state's natural resources. 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@wpr.org. Kent, those examples of the Pheasants Forever, of the students working with ruffed grouse, those feel like real success stories. Where else have you seen successful volunteer groups really make a difference in Wisconsin?
Well, you know, it's there when you own, you know, 300 properties around the state, there's always lots of work to be done, from the simple and mundane to the complex. And, you know, one of, you know, one of the things I learned, you know, when I was a field biologist and managing property is, you know, unfortunately there's people that like to dump trash somewhere, and they'll throw one bag of trash at a parking lot, and then other people see that one bag, and all of a sudden the whole parking lot becomes a dump. It just keeps building. And so just keeping up on some simple things like that can go a long way to keeping our public lands clean and orderly. Because if you get that first bag out of there, then it's less able to have, you know, it's less opportunity for other people to follow suit. And again, that's been an important thing. Along those lines, we've even had, you know, bigger projects like Wisconsin Waterfall Association group got together their boats and their trailers, and they went throughout a wetland and cleaned up trash and things that had blown into it and fallen into it over the years. In some cases, you know, it was big things, and they did an awesome job just cleaning that whole area up and making it look better. And that doesn't require a lot of expertise. On the other hand, we have projects where we take advantage of people's experience and skills with removing brush and using chainsaws. One of the habitats that takes a lot of work to manage are grasslands, because they always want to be growing up with shrubs. And a lot of the grassland birds, for example, need wide open expanses of grassland without intermittent shrubs. And so crews will come in and they'll clear old fence rows, clear out brush, and improve the grassland habitat for a variety of wildlife species.
So some real varied opportunities across our state to use different talents, whether it's a chainsaw or something simpler like picking up litter.
Well, and that's the advantage of it is, you know, groups often come to us with ideas. They'll say, hey, you know, we've used this area. You know, we'd love to see this habitat improved. And so then they'll donate some money that we can use to buy seed or to pay for some of the heavy equipment work. And then they come alongside and do the hand labor. So, you know, they contribute both ways. And oftentimes it's motivated by their own experiences on the properties and what they've seen they can contribute.
Yeah, those connections we have to our natural resources. Kent Van Horn stays with us on this Wisconsin Weekend. He's the chief of the state DNR Bird and Habitat Section. And we're taking your calls about volunteering here in Wisconsin. You can give us a ring at 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org. What do you want to know about volunteering to help Wisconsin's natural resources? 800-642-1234. I'm Keely Boltina. This is Wisconsin Weekend on The Morning Show. Thanks for being with us here on the Ideas Network. Conservation is on our minds on this Wisconsin Weekend, and we're talking with the state's Department of Natural Resources about it. It's The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina. Kent Van Horn is here with information on adopting a wildlife area or fish here in our state and to talk about volunteering in the great outdoors. And Kent, we have Kathy from Dodgeville who emailed to say that people who can't volunteer can help support endangered species by getting an endangered species license plate for their vehicle. So there's one example there of a way to help. And that brings up the question, how big of a commitment do you really need from us to be a volunteer with the DNR? Because we don't want to bite off more than we can chew.
That's a great question. And again, with, you know, people are... The people of Wisconsin are passionate about their natural resources and their wildlife. And if you go to the DNR website, you can type into the search box there, wildlife volunteer, and it'll bring you to our page. And you'll see the adopt a wildlife area where you can work on our properties with a group like we've been discussing. But you can also see other ways where we collect information, citizen-based monitoring. with various apps where you can collect information and contribute to our data. You can get connected that way. As your email listener, the email from your listener came in, obviously there's various ways to donate. The license plate is a donation. There's a, of course, a tax check off as well for the Endangered Resources Fund. If you buy, you know, a hunting or a fishing license, for example, when you're on our Go Wild system, there's Cherish Wisconsin. You can donate money there. And that money goes to habitat work on our state lands. So you can go everything from, you know, logging into an app and making some observations that contribute to our data, to donating money, to getting out on the ground and doing some work with your hands to help out. There's a whole range of opportunities.
Well, we're getting toward the end of summer and into fall. What are groups doing right now, working with their hands to help with things that are under your purview here for the DNR?
Continuing to do some of the brush work and the trash cleanup in particular. Obviously, the spring was a little disrupted for all of us with the COVID, and we had to shut down groups for a while, and the activity on our properties actually increased in some areas. And so as we got staff back out in the field and working over the summer, there's a lot of catch-up work to do on just keeping maintenance and cleaning things up. Our wildlife areas obviously get a lot of activity this time of year, and then moving into fall for hunting. And so getting those parking lots in order, getting things cleaned up and ready for more use is important. And I know a number of the groups are out there helping us do that kind of work. One of the things that, before we forget, I just want to highlight is that when a group doesn't adopt a wildlife or fishery area, in that relationship, we then put up a sign that says, hey, this group has adopted this area, and we advertise that on some of our social media network tools. And what that does then is promotes your local group, whether it's a Boy Scout troop or a Ducks Unlimited chapter or whatever group it is, then you get recognition and promotion as well.
Sure. So not only can you maybe see some benefits for different groups, but you also are really making a big difference, contributing to preserving all of these natural resources across Wisconsin. Lots of good comes from this, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah. And, you know, these are not Wisconsin DNR lands, right? They're citizen of Wisconsin lands, and we're all in this together.
Yeah. Kent Van Horn, thank you so much for helping us understand this aspect of volunteering with the state. We really appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Kent Van Horn is chief of the State Department of Natural Resources Bird and Habitat Section. We've been talking about the DNR's Adopt a Fish and Adopt a Wildlife Area programs, and also about how we can connect with volunteer opportunities across the state, whether it's through donations or working by spotting things when we are walking around and keeping our eyes open with the state's natural resources, or even by volunteering lots of hours. For more information, visit our website, WPR.org/mornings. Now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a story about a group of Wisconsin protesters who've walked hundreds of miles this month. They're expected to arrive at their destination today.
Some Wisconsin activists are marching from Milwaukee to Washington, D.C. to protest racial injustice. They started the nearly 800-mile journey at the beginning of the month, and they're planning to make it there just in time for a modern-day march on Washington being organized by Reverend Al Sharpton. Rachel Vasquez introduces us to one of the marchers.
Sandy Solomon calls herself a protester. She says growing up in Mississippi, she experienced racism at an early age.
We knew where the white people were across the track. We were just told not to go over there, so I never went over there as a kid. It was segregated like that.
She says a lot of her family has experienced it too. brothers, a brother-in-law, her son?
You get treated different. People, they shoot and then they ask questions later. They assume that you're up to no good just because you're in the dark. They assume that you're up to no good because why would a black person be walking through a white neighborhood that's predominantly white? Why can't they assume that you're dating somebody that's in that neighborhood? Why can't they assume that your grandparents live in that neighborhood? Why can't they assume that you have white relatives within your family unit?
The marchers are on this long journey to bring attention to racial injustice. When I reached Solomon on Tuesday, she was with other marchers in Bedford County, Pennsylvania, outside of a hospital. That's because the night before, when they were all taking a break, a local resident shot at them. One of the protesters was treated and released from the hospital later Tuesday afternoon, and it's unclear if protesters returned fire. Solomon, though, was audibly shaken up by the whole experience.
We just wanted people to know that, you know, these things happen, especially in these small towns. And we want them to know that at this time, we're not backing down. It's too many years of us just, you know, marching and being silent.
The march also has her thinking about what it means to be a white ally.
Even these people are saying, hey, we're here for you, and you're bringing out, you know, supplies and stuff. But then as soon as we're getting shot at, you're going back to the conference or your home. I thought you wanted to have this experience with us. You know, even if you're documented or whatever, don't you want the safety? Now that you're an ally, they're looking at you just like you're black too. So now you're feeling how it feels to be black. And nobody wants to be black at those times.
She says during the march, they've had boots thrown at them, people flipping them off, people revving up their cars to get smoke on them.
We've had people come up to us in the hotel and say, where are you guys on your way to Washington? A white guy and his wife. And he says, you guys are going to riot. And he says, no, we're protesters. You're rioters, aren't you? No, we're protesters trying to agitate us. And then he says, you're going to tear up, aren't you? And then when they left the parking lot, they threw their finger up at us.
But Solomon adds there have been positive moments, too.
People brought us food from these towns. I'm saying white folks. They've met us at meeting points. Like if they say, where are you going to be? Or what are you walking towards? They met us with medical supplies, Gatorade, water, t-shirts, socks, and all of those things. Milwaukee even sent us a whole big box of supplies and stuff up here from back home. So we do have some positive experiences, and we have positive things on Facebook prayers that say, we're proud of you. We need some women presence out there. We're happy we have some LGBT people out there.
It's been a long, long journey for her, and it's taken a toll on her legs, her feet.
Then when your feet aren't hurt, it seems like when you're going up hills and different things, you find another muscle group that you haven't used for a while. When your feet toughens up to this, something else seems to happen, like your shoulders get tight.
But Solomon says it's worth it.
We're going to make sure that we're not doing this for nothing at this time. We're going to keep going. It's not no compromise. It's no, we want the demands that we want, the equality. Some of these folks don't have body cams. We want everything that we're asking for.
And for those times when their feet hurt or they're tired, they've got all the motivation they need.
But what keeps us going is the people who look up to us.
That was WPR's Rachel Vasquez talking with Sandy Solomon, who spent this month marching from Milwaukee to Washington, D.C. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lola and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Want to make sure you catch every Wisconsin Life story? Subscribe to our podcast feed and find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I'm Maureen McCollum.
This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.